May we be helped to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn number 297, hymn 297. June Horton, 808. I'll read the first two verses and we commence singing at verse 3. Jehovah has said, 'Tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died, yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. When faint in the way, or lifeless and cold, or sunk in dismay, and none to uphold, yet firm to his promise, thy God shall abide, but grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried.'" Commencing to sing at verse 3, 297, to tune Horton 808.
Let us read together for our instruction two portions of God's holy word. The first you'll find in Isaiah chapter 40. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40. And we will read the first 11 verses. The first portion of our reading is in Isaiah chapter 40 and the first 11 verses. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We will now turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we will commence to read at verse 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, commencing at the 29th verse. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is in to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. There shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, as we come before thee, so teach us to pray, as thou didst thy disciples. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we do desire that as we are gathered here, though we are not around the glorious throng, exalted throng that are around the throne of heaven, in heaven, yet, Lord, we would come and desire to see the Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. Desire to behold him by faith, and to feel that gracious presence which he has promised. Even where two or three are gathered together, in thy name thou hast pledged to be in the midst. And we believe, Lord, it is so. Therefore we pray that thou wilt touch our ears, that we might hear, and hear for the good of our never dying soul, and hear that we may rejoice in thy word, and hear that we may find that thou dost know us, and dost understand us, because the very things that may be spoken will trace out the evidences that thou knowest what is in our heart. And Lord, though we know our natural heart is full of corruption and evil and wretchedness, and Lord, we would think only upon our wretched selves if left to ourselves. But Lord, is there not that which would have our very thoughts to focus upon the preciousness of Thee, the Saviour, our Master, the one who commands the stormy waves to cease, and the winds, that we should then know that peace. Lord, thy peace passeth all understanding. We cannot understand how it is that such unworthy wretches, only a fit for destruction, may be plucked as a brand from the burning and brought to tremble at thy word, to fear thy holy name, that is, to have that feeling of love to the name which is so worthy, and all to desire that such a worthy name may be sweetly held by faith, and that we might therefore rejoice in that name which is above every name, and at that name every knee shall bow, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, Lord, we come to bow at the very sound of that name, and that thou mayest be honoured, praised and glorified. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt now also touch the lips of one that speaks, that thy call from the altar. Oh, how we feel to need it. Lord, we need those very things which may be spoken to come from the sanctified lip. Oh, Lord, if we should speak with guile or deception or with pride and presumption, then, the Lord, shall we not prove the solemnity of such falling to the ground, upon the stony ground or the wayside, and not come to anything? But Lord, if thou dost grant that those words that are spoken may be as a good seed to fall into prepared ground, then we believe there will be some evidence that it is or will take root when we begin to see the shoot come upward, and then we know that something has been done. And yet it may be perhaps a long time before we actually see the grain in the ear, the wheat in the ear. Lord, we have to prove that thy work is often of that kind, of being here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And when we consider that it may be line upon line, no chapter of our life will therefore be written in a hurry. But Lord, we do know that as for God, thy way is perfect, and those are appointed ways that we have to walk in. It's all in thy perfect work. We have sung concerning, Lord, thy children, that they shall be tried. And yet, O Lord, we may draw back from it, because the flesh dislikes the way. But when we see what the outcome will be, then we know faith approves it well, for it looks to what is the end of it. O Lord, we cannot know what the end is in and of our own wisdom, but if thou dost reveal to us that there is an end, and that the end will be eternal life, then, O Lord, we can see it will be good. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon thy people here. Not all are gathered on this occasion. We will remember thy servant and his dear one who are affected at the moment. Though we may say with a cold, yet they can often lay us low. Lord, in these days in which we live, the consideration of passing on infection is sometimes uppermost in our minds. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt therefore grant that though at home, yet they can and can still listen, that the word may be conveyed into their hearts, as each gathered may also feel it to be so as well. Lord, there is a dear friend and sister in the faith, in her particular state, and what she's passed through of late, and Lord, also affecting her in varying ways. But do, Lord, grant thy blessing upon her. Then there are those detained because of their parental responsibilities, and so one is kept at home, though the other may come out. Lord, we would pray for them. Sometimes, if not able to listen, there are lessons to be learnt from our children. And Lord, not perhaps what they say or may even do, but we see how they are often in need, and then it led for us to feel our own need and to cry unto thee as our true Heavenly Father. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Lord, we also, though, would remember the children, though perhaps young in years, yet soon they will be reaching the time when they are going to school. Some of them already are there, and then subject to the varying things that would distract or attract and cause them to enter into those things which are not profitable or good. Lord, we live in a solemn day where there is much evil that abounds, and what children are taught now would never have been considered at one time. And the things that were kept from them because it was realized that those could often lead to evil ways. But now all such things are done. Lord, we pray they may be kept. Kept from the evil of the day, but also given that discernment to be able to know what is right and what is wrong. May it be through the hearing of their parents speaking to them concerning the right or the wrong, that they may heed it, or hear from the pulpit. Lord, thou canst cause them to be attentive even in their youth. And Lord, we know that it may not always be every time. With childish minds we soon find our concentration wane. But Lord, we can remember when there were those occasions and something was uttered and brought us to feel the reality or the truth of what was said. And so, Lord, may it be with them. We would also, Lord, pray that those that have now grown up and quickly reaching adulthood, that they may have proved already something of the blessing of being brought up and nurtured by the word of thy grace. And though it hasn't given them grace of itself, but nonetheless, hearing of it and finding the value of it, that they may seek to know the true grace applied into their own soul. Perhaps, Lord, they already know a little of it, but are fearful to think that they actually possess it. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt therefore confirm, and as the desire may be, to attend upon the means of grace, so, Lord, may they find that there is that which is brought into their very souls, and to know, yes, they can have a hope, a humble hope, in the mercy of Thee, the God of truth, the God who does condescend to hear the cries of a needy soul. Lord, we also would pray that thou would be mindful of any others that we have left out. And such, Lord, that may be with us this evening that would not normally gather here. Lord, we do pray that there may be yet a word for them. We would, Lord, also desire that thy mercies might rest upon the one that bears the responsibility, or those that bear the responsibility of this cause of truth. Lord, we pray that they might receive a little encouragement from time to time amidst all of the anxious fears that they have had. Lord, we commend them to thee. We would also pray that thou would be mindful of Zion, Lord, at large. Oh, we live in solemn days. We have seen, Lord, a diminishing, and many that have gone away. we may hear the word which was spoken to thy disciples. Will ye also go away? But may, Lord, of the profound and yet blessed answer be found in our hearts. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we would pray that there would be mindful also of our sinful land. Oh, what evils abound. Lord, our leaders and the members of our parliament, they sometimes do not seem to know what is the right thing, let alone to know what is the best thing for the good of our land. Not that we would point any finger. Many are the issues. Many things must cause them much concern and difficulty as to know how to handle. And yet, Lord, how the influence they can become. Lord, give them clear understanding as to the thing which should be done. Lord, we do pray also for those leaders of our national church that seem to be so at sea, not knowing hardly their right hand from their left. We are thankful when some are able to declare what is the right thing. Lord, we are thankful for the stand of those, though they may be in another continent, but have that connection with our national church. And yet, Lord, we find that our Archbishop is like one that wavers and like a wave tossed. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou would yet appear for us, and that we might see those brought to know or to be raised up who shall know the truth, believe the truth, and speak the truth, and speak of the importance of the truth and the solemnity of the truth. O Lord, we pray that they may therefore be brought to make that clear dividing of the vile from the precious things. O Lord, we also would remember those that are suffering in the world, and such that are affected by the conflicts and warfare that they are suffering in their lives in jeopardy, and perhaps have lost loved ones through it, and all the suffering that comes with it. We would pray for them. We'd also pray, Lord, for those who are affected by the natural natural yet fearful things that occur, the earthquakes that have taken place, and other things also, and lives have been taken, souls swept into eternity in a moment. We would also pray for those that are persecuted for thy name's sake, that they may be helped to stand, even though despite the threats, that they may have with regard to their life. O Lord, persecution has ever been, and there have been the list of martyrs. But Lord, we may find it sometimes comes nearer at home. We may not perhaps be subject as those who are affected by the authorities, but rather we find much persecution from those that we have to deal with. And then there may be the sense of the one who is the great enemy of our soul, persecuting our soul, Satan and his hellish host, the men of the world that are of that like mind with his whom he has poisoned with the evils that he does, as it were, infuse into their minds, and a hatred. But Lord, if they hated thee, then we may well expect them to hate us. Now do pardon us of our every sin, make up in giving where we fail in our asking. So we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn number 295. Hymn 295 to the tune Allstone 933. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he I trust has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. Hymn 295, tune Allstone, 933.
Oh,
Be pleased to help me. I direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, and read in verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. These words apply to the coming of our Lord when he came into this world. As we have the context here where it refers first to the voice that cried in the wilderness, which was the voice of John the Baptist. And that he came with a cry. First of all, to testify as to what man is. He is as grass. And that it does fade. All fresh is grass and the goodliness thereof. And the flower of the field and the grass withereth. And the flower fadeth. Poor mortal creatures, how shall they escape from what is due unto them? Because sin has entered into the world, and death through sin. And therefore, death passing upon us, we know that there is then a solemn eternity set before us. And how shall we spend, or how shall we do rather, in the valley, in the rivers of Jordan, when they swell, as is the case, often in the sense and realization of death. How shall we do? We know that the wicked, they drown in perdition, but the righteous are brought through. They find a way is made, and it is because of that which goes before. When Joshua brought the children of Israel, as it were, in that last part of the of their wanderings, and they were to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark were to go before them. They were not to come near, but nonetheless to follow. They had not walked this way heretofore, but now there was a way to be made through the river that had overflowed its banks to bring them into the land of promise. And the promise that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ is that he will bring us also unto a land, a fair land that the fathers sought for. Though Abraham had the prospect of coming to the earthly Canaan when he went out, not knowing whither he went, but he sought something better, a country that was a heavenly, and a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And who indeed could build that city? And who could build that temple? Our Lord spoke of the temple as himself. And when the present temple, as was there in the days of his flesh, should all be cast down, not one stone left upon it, upon another, and yet in 3 days, men may take him who would offer himself, and only our Lord and Saviour could come and offer himself to be that propitiation for his people, to bear the sins of many, to give himself as one who may be seen, to apparently be brought to nothing, but instead was to be the stone that the builders rejected, becoming the headstone of the corner. And it is therefore to him that Zion, now being awakened, brought to see and wait through and by faith for that which was to yet appear, as it was in the days of Isaiah, but we can say yet has appeared, and it has come. Our interest, therefore, in that work, that blessed salvation, that redemption, to be brought into that, and to know the visitations of his love and grace. And we are looking at this word that we brought before you, the whole of the Church of God will indeed desire to look to the one that will come. Not in the sense or as he did in a literal way, but that he will come to us in the particular need of our soul, come to us in the varying trials and troubles that we may pass through, that come to us into our very path that we are having to walk. And so there is a certainty that is echoed here: behold, the Lord will come. He has pledged to come. He may seem to tarry, but his tarrying will soon change to his swift coming at the appointed time. And we have to learn again and again that there is appointed times in our lives. It is the Lord's work. It is his work that goes before him, because he is the author and finisher of it. And that particular a thing which is born is faith. But faith, when it is to appear in our souls, it must evidence first of all that it is living. It is living. But faith, as it's living, will be tried. And because it's tried, then the evidences of faith will be seen. And faith will be of an enduring nature. It is that which will stand the test, whereas much will fail that test. Yes, the promises of men will all fail the test, but the purpose and promise of God will never fail. And therefore it is unto him that we are exhorted to look. The opening hymn that we had, I was struck by the way it opened. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. And when Zion therefore looks to her God, her Saviour, and then does unite in exhorting one another unto this one who is the living head, who is the glorious Messiah, the one that shall come, the one that has come, the one who is able to deliver and save unto the uttermost, and has saved unto the uttermost, and will save, when we come into those uttermost situations where we may feel that all is hopeless, but then we find that God works. He begins his work and he carries it on. And the work begun will perhaps be realized in these words: he will come. The first perhaps work is a raising up in our hearts a hope that we may be found as one amongst the Lord's people. We may find we cannot speak with any certainty at first, but it is a hope. There is life begun. It is as a seed that when it is cast into the ground does not immediately appear as a plant or as the growing wheat, but it is after the time when the shoot then is seen. And this is the time when the shoot begins to show, that Zion can then give the encouragement unto a poor needy soul and say, behold, the Lord God will come. He will come and work his work. And then as we go on walking through the varying paths of darkness, of trial, sometimes completely overcome, sometimes almost brought to despair, though a poor sinner may feel he's come there, yet he proves that it is not despair, because according to his promise, he comes. And now here is the encouragement that may be sounded abroad. Behold, the Lord God will come. And how does he come? With a strong hand. A hand which can lay hold upon us. That hand where we may know his separating power. When he divides, as it were, and brings us out from what we have been and what we would be, but grace makes the difference. And we then find there is a separation from the world that we once indulged in and found our comforts there, but now no longer. But now we may find that there is much that brings us to feel the pulling, as it were, the tearing, yes, being torn, as we have it in the prophecy of Hosea, which is so often the experience of the Lord's people, but also particularly when we are left to our backsliding state. But we find those words that say, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. In the days of his flesh, how that hand was often put forth to the healing, literally, of those that need true healing and raising up from their impaired condition. And many did receive from him that benefit. But not only was it, I believe, an outward benefit, but it was also for the healing of their soul, a bringing of them to realize and then to announce fearlessly as to who this one was. A revelation that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord placed his hand even upon Peter, which brought him to say unto him, Thou art the Christ. And brought Nathanael to also call his Lord Master, though he had said, Is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? It is often the testimony of another who may say, We have found, I have found, who is the Christ. He has brought me to know my own self and to know his redeeming power and work. But can we receive it at the mouth of another? And yet when the Lord speaks, the Lord has seen us, as it were, under our fig tree, our dwelling place. And there we have been, perhaps indulging in things which were better not known. But when he saw us in our blood, so he passed by and said, Live. But then we should consider that when Nathanael came to be seen under the tree, the fig tree, it was because he had been raised up from that sad and solemn, dreadful state to wait and look for the Messiah. But so often when we find the Lord comes, we can hardly believe it. We are like them that dreamed. We wonder that the Lord now has appeared. And yet, if he will appear, then there is a time for waiting and watching. And how often our waiting and watching, we may always get to the end of it and think we can wait and watch no longer. But here Isaiah brings this encouragement as we read the word again. Behold, the Lord will come. And he shall come with a strong hand, a hand of deliverance, a hand that may bring us under that very tree, as it were, the fig tree, to bear forth its fruit, and for us to rejoice in the one in whom we've come to trust. And as soon as Nathanael realized, because the Lord could say such a thing unto him, that this was the Master, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So here was the one who not only comes with a strong hand, but also he will rule. He will rule. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. For him in that he will order all things according to his own law. Now, when we speak of the law of Christ, that is a law of love. That is a law of constraint. That is a law of power. The law that is written upon stone cannot give the one convinced by it any power. And this is where the law failed. The law given unto Moses. But when the Holy Spirit sent, writes the law of God, which is spiritual and good, in our hearts, and the immediately the eye of faith perceives that this is setting before us a path, a way, which is walked for us. Our Lord and Saviour has walked the path, has walked in the way of His redeeming grace. And therefore, of His grace have each we received, and grace for grace. That is the grace that is to be brought unto us. But what may we pass through to realise such grace? Well, it is to be personal. It may be different in detail with each one, and yet in purpose it will bring about the same benefit and blessing, for there will be a reward that goes before Him that is our Lord and Saviour. Have you passed through some deep trouble? Do you think then that the Lord has not walked in it with you? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. What a token it was to those Hebrew children, as they are often referred to, the three that were cast into the burning fiery furnace, because they would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had raised up, the king that at that time did not perceive or know such a God who could put, as it were, the king and all the things that he may worship, the gods of his own making, and also himself, who considered himself as almost a god, and therefore expected all to bow to him. But these three Hebrews, they had a God to whom the stoutest rebel must bow. And therefore we find that when Nebuchadnezzar saw, looking into the furnace, four, but did not we cast three men in? But I see the fourth. What a revelation! The fourth is like unto the Son of God. What effect that had on him at the first seemed to show little, until he was brought right down. And then it would seem from his own testimony that he would have none other to be exalted but the true and the living God. There may be different opinions on that tyrant and his humbling. We leave that. But the point of raising or bringing this before you is not Nebuchadnezzar, but rather the three Hebrew children that were delivered out of the fiery furnace. Now, ours is not a literal furnace, but it will be nonetheless a furnace when trouble and trials come, and we are cast into them, as it were. Perhaps men were to try to consume us by their own vile ways, or by their hatred and enmity. They think that they could overcome, but the Lord's children shall be seen to be overcomers when His arm shall rule for him. when his arm shall rule for him. And with Christ, therefore, there with them, then they have nothing to fear. No more than Daniel did when cast into the lion's den. And no more when a ship upon the sea was tossed about, and those disciples, they awoke him in the ship and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" He was indeed there, but now he arose. He rebuked the waves. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall roar for him. How it happened in many of the cases of the Lord's people, as we have a varying examples and reading them through in the scripture itself, we find how the Lord so graciously did come. He came to Hannah, didn't he? There she was, without a child. Shame was therefore that which overcame her. And how could she be delivered? Well, she was brought to prayer. She was a woman of a sorrowful heart, and the Lord recognized it, and he came. She could have scarcely eat anything before she had come before her God. There she was, in the place where the priest was. But poor Eli did not understand her, did he? Not until she testified that she was not a woman that was drunk, but a woman in great sorrow and need. And then he spoke the word of comfort. It could have been even these words: "Behold, the Lord will come. Fear not, Hannah, he will come." Perhaps if he had been enabled to minister further, he could have said, "Thou shalt have this one. Yes, thou shalt have this one, this child." Well, so it was. So it came about. And so her reproach was removed. The Lord's reward was before him, to give unto her such a one, such a Samuel, who would then be raised up in the room as a prophet, to then do those things as the Lord commanded him. But we will not tarry upon the varying circumstances of the life of Samuel, but nonetheless he was, together with others, to prove that the Lord would come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. How David proved that in his life, when it seemed as though Saul sought after his life, even though he had been anointed and would become king of Israel. But it seemed as though everything militated against the conclusion of it. But no, if David should say, "I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul," the Lord's purpose could not be changed. That he would sit upon the throne, and there symbolized or set before us a greater than himself who would sit upon the throne. And then it will be seen that his reward is with him. If I can just leave David for a moment and come again to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Behold, his reward is with him. He, having suffered, gone to the end of the law for righteousness, and was there now raised from the dead because it could not, death could not celebrate him, continue with its sting. It would lose its sting, and death and the grave could not celebrate, but rather coming forth from the tomb, the glorious resurrection. So now, not only was he raised from the dead, but he would come forth with such a word as we find earlier in this prophecy, "Thy dead men shall live together with my dead men shall live together with thy dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust." Yes, he shall come, and with a strong hand he shall rule for him. But behold, his reward is with him. Risen, he will now ascend at the appointed moment unto his Father. His mission was accomplished. He would receive the fruits. His many sons would come and be drawn from the four corners of the earth to be brought unto that glory which, yes, some had already come into. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the long list that we might read in the epistle to the 11th chapter, the epistle to the Hebrews. They had all been the fruits of the coming of our Lord. And therefore, with these words, they may have seen Christ's day. I say may, they surely did see Christ's day and rejoiced. And yet, there was that to be yet enjoyed when the completed work of our Lord and Saviour was to be realised in that ascension and the bringing of his many sons unto glory. His reward is before him, and his work before him. Now my time is running out. His work before him. You see, the Lord, he causes his work to proceed. Even though there may be everything to militate against it, yet Satan, men, circumstances, they cannot stand against the work that he has come to do. He must fulfill it. And if we pass through some of the greatest sorrows, yet we will prove that his work will go before him. And his work therefore goes before us in that sorrow. The man of sorrows should also then enter into that communion and fellowship with his own people in their sorrows. Or perhaps I should put it the other way round, that we may enter into fellowship with him in his sorrows. We can take it both ways. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Therefore, he comes into our sorrows. And then that gives us the blessedness of entering into his sorrows, which then will become strength and health to us and help to us. Oh, when we know that it is Christ who also has entered into the path that we are walking. What a sweet consolation that is. What sweet consolation. You may say, well, I'm walking now in the depths and darkness and I feel no sweet presence, no evidence. Well, listen. Listen to what Zion, who has already experienced the reality of what he must be to his people. Here is the united cry of those that have gone before, and even those that are now gone through some of these things, though they may still have to face much. They may not know what they do have to face, but they do know that his work is before him. And therefore, behold, the Lord God will come, and it will be with a strong arm. He goes to the end of the law for righteousness. He that begins a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Therefore, whatever we may pass through, whatever deep trials we may have to bear, sometimes it is from sinners, sometimes it is from saints. Ah, yes. Those that perhaps we would least expect to receive any blows. And yet we do. We do. And often it is to show us that, yes, we are as weak as they are. And have shown themselves. It's only but the grace of God. It is by the grace of God I am what I am. Paul could have continued with his persecution and his boasting of his righteousness until the Lord showed him that all his righteousnesses were as filthy rags and brought him to his footstool. And when he did, then Paul knew that it must be his work that goes before, not Paul's work, or shall we say Saul's work, as he was at the first. And how we need to be brought to that. No, nothing in us, but whatever is wrought, it's his work. And may we therefore look unto him, that his work may be accomplished in us, accomplished for us, and accomplished too for his own honour and glory. Well, I think you may perhaps see that here is a subject that is vast. We have only touched upon a few things, but may we know something of it. Behold, the Lord God will come, and with strong hand, and his arm shall rule in us, rule over us. Yes, reign over us, reign o'er us as King, accomplish thy will, and powerfully bring us forth from all ill, till falling before thee, we lord thy love name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. and his reward is with him and his work before him. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 769. Hymn 769, tune Jerusalem Luminosa 675. Jesus, o'er the pillows steer me, be my pilot in each storm. Hold me fast and keep me near thee, for thou knowest I'm but a worm. What concerns me, by thy power and love perform. Hymn 769, tune Jerusalem Luminosa 675.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for the certainty of that work which thou dost perform. So, Lord, may we see it worked out as we pass from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year. Be with us, Lord, until the blessed home call comes. We know not, any of us, when that may be. But may we be able to say, it shall be well. Thou take us in peace and safety to our homes, and grant thy mercies to us as we continue on through this week. Pardon every sin, and what may have been uttered amiss, we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.